We thank God for how far he has taken us, and we are not going to waste any more time as we welcome the minister for tonight, Pastor Gideon.
Amen. Thank God for the settings that he is granting us in the spirit over this meeting. I believe very strongly in my heart that God is doing something that will transcend the days of this meeting, something that will become a reference point as we all make our journeys through life. I also believe that God is not just coming after us because of us, principally. He's coming after us for purposes that are bigger and higher than ourselves, because every visitation of God, it's supposed to be contagious. And if you have to make a lot of effort to convince people that God has been gracious unto you, then you should go seek for more grace. Because when God's grace lights upon a man, it has a way of announcing itself. It will attract, it will dispel accordingly. And in these days, those are the kind of things we are expecting God to do for us. If you don't mind, I'll ask you to stand one more time as we... as we reach to our God in worship, briefly. Amen. Amen. I see something very interesting happening here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that God will help us to manage this atmosphere appropriately. So, Spirit of the Living God, can the choir help me with just do a song of worship?
Jesus is the Ilomoro Tato Shalibahade. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you for our privileges in the spirit of your Son. Lord, tonight we come. We have come. Lord, we have come. We have come. Yes, Lord.
Thank you. As we glorify you tonight, we ask, O God, that you reveal yourself to us afresh and proceed with the things you have begun to do in our lives over these many years. To the praise and to the honor of the conquering name of our triumphant Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you sense victory in this atmosphere, but I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have two definite assignments tonight. And I left off something in the morning. We all with open face, as in a glass, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. That's where we stopped. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a conveyor in the Spirit that moves men from one degree of glory to another degree of glory every time that doctrine is in place. We all with unveiled faces, that's what open face means, unveiled faces, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. There are progressions in glory. Every man's initiation into glory, if it is properly done, ought to birth in that same man a hunger for greater degrees and dimensions of glory. We receive glory so that we can receive glory. We go from glory to glory. The Bible says, and who makes that possible? The Spirit of the Lord. You see that marriage again. That every time there is proper biblical doctrine, there is a spirit component that is available to ensure conformity with that which is being beheld. Is a technology that Jacob got glimpse of in the Old Testament. You know Jacob, that man? You know that man? That man touched things up. You remember when Laban said, what will be your wage? Jacob said, I don't need any wages from you. All I need, let's go through this flock. Everyone that is spotted will be mine. And all the ones that are monochrome, all the ones that are white, no spot, those will be yours. And Laban said, that's fine. So they go through the flock and isolate all the spotted ones. You know the story? They isolate all the spotted ones, and that was to be Jacob's. So what Jacob did was, he entrusted those ones into the hands of his sons and sent them to go graze differently while he continued to graze the cattle of his father-in-law. But the Bible said, this technology, you know this technology? Jacob, when he saw this cattle, when he saw the strong ones, that passage is in Genesis 30. isn't it? Somebody should find it for me. When he saw these cattle mating, because where they drink, that is where they mate. So when he saw them mating, if he saw the ones that were very strong, 31, Genesis 31, yes, Genesis 31. When he saw the strong ones, he will take the branches of poplar trees. It's a tree in those regions. Like any normal tree, you know, dongoyaro tree, something like that. He will take the branches and then he will peel part of the body and leave part, and peel part and leave part, and peel part. So this branch of a tree will be looking brown, white, brown, white, brown, white, brown, white. You understand? And then he had them handy. So whenever he saw the strong cattle trying to mate, because where they drink is where they mate. But you say, that's not my focus tonight. There is a relationship between where you drink and what you give birth to. Now, this where they drink is where they mate is taken directly from that passage. So maybe we should just read it. Is it 30? Okay. Don't worry. Okay, so what happened in verse 8? No, Genesis 30. Yes, Genesis 30. Genesis 30. The Bible says in verse 31, and he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all the flock today, removing from thence all specked and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not specked and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-staked and spotted, and all the goat and all the she-goats that were specked and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rod. Are you getting the story? Okay, that was what I explained earlier on. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle ring-streaked, specked, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flock towards the ring-streaked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flock by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maid servants, and men servants, and camels, and asses. Amen. Amen. So what was Jacob doing here? He put spotted rods before the eyes of the cattle whenever it was time for them to mate and conceive. And even though the cattle were monochrome in their body externally, when they came to drink from the gutters, where also they mate, the Bible said, these poplar trees, these rods that Jacob put in the waters, so they drink from this water. As they drink, they see white, brown, white, green, red, brown, and all of that. They see different colors in the water that they drink. When they finally conceived and they gave birth to their young ones, the young ones they gave birth to didn't look like them. The young ones looked like what they saw in the water that they drank where they were meeting. The Jesus that you see, that is the Jesus you can become. This technology was somehow made available to Jacob. So every time he saw the strong cattle mating, he brought out his rods. When the feeble cattle were mating, he let them alone. So next generation, you know, the tide is changing now. The next generation of cattle, the stronger ones will be Jacob's, and the weaker ones will be Laban's. Now, if a man that lived several years before Christ had access to such mysteries, why are we complacent as a church when it comes to these matters of formation and manifestation? That the future of this assembly of God's people, and I'm not talking of this local assembly, I'm talking of the church, that the future of the assembly of God's people, the church of the firstborn, the future of this body of Christ, strong or weak, depends on this technology and the way we attend to it. Do you realize that in our own time, we invest more on the weaker ones than on the stronger ones? Because we do not have the resources in the spirit to labor upon the robust ones. You see, do you know that one of the things that put people away from church is the level of gullibility of God's people? Are you with me? People look from outside and it is not attractive. We need to get back to our roots. What the fathers did before us, identification of virtue and of potential in the lives of people and bringing them out. Now, how did Jacob know the feebler cattle and the stronger cattle? He knew because that was what he did for a living. He was a shepherd. Hello? Hello? How did he know when they were about to mate? He knew. Because he was a shepherd. Those of you that are farmers, maybe you have a poultry or a piggery or something of that nature, you know when your animals are in heat, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, a common man on the street does not have the finer details of how those things work. We need skilled men in the house. People that can see, and then people that when they see, they will undertake to labor so that on the inside of men, there will be a change, and that change will be a change that will conform to the nature and the person and the priority and the principles of the person of Christ. It's a process. You know that passage in Isaiah 54 that we quote? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That passage is hiding inside a gold mine. But because of our African background, we are very, very sensitive to war. We see challenges even where there are none. So when you look at that kind of scripture, the only thing you see, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But what was the context of that passage? Isaiah 54, isn't it? Now, no weapon is in verse 17. But that's 17 verses after the matter began. So let's see what we are looking at there tonight. Isaiah 54. Are you there? Isaiah 54. Okay. Verse 16. Before verse 17. Verse 16 says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. On the basis of this, no weapon that is formed or fashioned against you. I don't know if you are getting the progression. I have created the smith that blows the coal in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. Consequent upon this, no instrument that is formed. So are you getting the connection now? No instrument that is formed against you shall prosper. Because the former of the instrument, the forger of the instrument, the forger of the weapon, I created him. I gave him his skills. Therefore, whatever he is capable of forging out of iron and metal in fire, when he applies it to you, it wouldn't prosper. So, what is God saying here? God is trying to make a point, but the build up to that point is critical for kingdom enterprise, that there are smiths responsible for the forging of weapons. And they have a creator. If God takes responsibility for the creation of smiths that are now employing their services against his own people, my question tonight is, oh God, where are your own smiths? Where are those that can take the raw material
source of men's life and take it into the furnace and the crucible of holy forging and bring forth a weapon that is worthy of our El Gibor. Where are they? I created that man. You remember that sometime in Israel, the Bible says there were no smiths in Israel. Hey, what a day. Hi. And because there were no smiths in Israel, the men of Israel took their weapons and their cutlasses to their enemies to help them wet it. Isn't that what we do today? Yet, Baba says, thou art my weapon of war. You are my battle axe and my weapon of war. For with thee, I will break in pieces. The problem is this. Oh God, the weapon that you will use, who will forge it? Where are the smiths in Israel? Paul said in Galatians 4 verse 19, he said, my little children of whom I travail, Kayota, until Christ is formed in you. I. Because there is such a thing as a man in Christ, and there's such a thing as Christ in a man. They are worlds apart. For if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. That's the goal. But Christ in you is your hope of glory. Sir, you have no hope of exploit nor glory without that dimension. So when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his son in me, we shall have time. So God is looking for weapons of war that he can use like he used his son. And so he's trying to raise younger brothers and sisters for Jesus, because the son has received an instruction from the father. And that instruction is, sit thou at my right hand until... that's a time marker. Oh, Jesus, that you will arise and come down. No. Baba said, sit. Until. So you will ask, but things are hard. How long is he going to sit? Abba said, he will sit until. Until what? Until I make his enemies his footstool. Okay. So let's see how you will do it. So we can clap for you. He said, no, that's not the plan. The arrangement is that it is through the instrumentality of rods. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Not which is Zion. Because everybody in Zion doesn't fit that designation. Of course, you know, there are those that are at ease. Even in Zion. So, he says, The Lord will send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, and their mandate is, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Rods. Those are the weapons we talk about. How are rods made? That's the matter. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas, but thou shall be called Peter, or Kephas, means a rock. Currently you are Simon, but this journey, this process, when you enter into the quarry, the goal is to forge a rock out of this reed. Rods are made. Weapons are made. And the maker of them is made by the maker of all things. And we must place demand upon his majesty, because smiths are in short supply in the land. We have nannies all over the place, but there are no smiths. Have I confused you? I'm just using different imageries to say the same things. So, the man started as Simon, means a reed, means unstable. You know what a reed is? Something like this. A reed is like a pipe. Those of us that grew up in the village, you see what they used to do, thatched, to roof thatched houses, that grass. Properly, you know, that grass is like a straw. Why you call it a straw is because it is hollow on the inside. It has an appearance of form, but is not stuffed. It's a reed. Can be tossed here and there. Tossed about by every wind of doctrine. That was what Peter was. A reed. A reed. When Jesus met him, he said, you are a reed, but you will be a rod. 3.5 years later, we saw Peter on pulpit at Pentecost. Well, you see, before that day, you remember the day he became the rod? You remember that day? Who do men say I am? Blah, 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 blah. Who do you say I am? Ha! Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ah. But God said, now that you know me, you can now be known. You are Peter. Not shall be called anymore. Now you are Peter. So you see, there's actually like a play on words when he now said, upon this rock I will build my church. Because that word Peter is the word Petra, is the root for the word petroleum. So those of you that did chemistry or something or geology, you did petrology, isn't it? It's Petra, that's the word. So he said, today you are Peter. And the reason is because flesh and blood are not confluenced in this matter. But my Father which is in heaven. So when you get to that point where you start taking instructions from there. Now, if Jesus Christ on earth had as his goal raising sons that can receive instructions from the Father, what are we doing? How is it that a preacher has the convenience of conscience to expose his people more to himself than to the one that died for them? Are there not people in church that know more about Papa than they know more about Abba? But we can't get the rods that we rule in the midst of God's enemies. When we raise clappers for Papa and Papa followers, really, the true job of a true minister is to continually make losses so that heaven can make gains. That men come, hey sir, now you be the man. That 5 years down the line, hello, they have now met the real man. Isn't that why Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep, they hear my voice. Hello? There was a good reason why he didn't say, I know my lamb. Because the lamb follows the sheep. The sheep follows the shepherd. Why are you a perpetual lamb? Huh? You know a lamb? A lamb is the baby of a sheep. No matter how stupid a sheep is, a point comes when it will win its lamb. You know what I mean by winning? To stop the lamb from sucking at the breast. And very soon you toss the lamb away. Why? Because it must bring more lambs into the world. And so long as this one keeps sucking and sucking and sucking, the next one can't come. But in church, we have reduced people to perpetual lambs. A lamb follows the sheep. The sheep follows the shepherd. One of the major assignments of every sheep is that in being followed by the lamb should gradually begin to learn and discern the voice of the shepherd. So that after a while, the lamb can become a sheep. And it also will have its own lamb now. Are you with me? The mother is still there. And it's still its mother. You see, it's like my dad. My dad is alive. No matter what I do, no matter what I become, my father is my father. That relationship cannot be altered. But the dynamics of that relationship evolves. There was a point I couldn't step out of the house without daddy's approval. Isn't it? At some point, I stepped out of the house with his notice. You see, notice and approval are not the same. I notify him that I'll be away. And then when are you coming back? I am not sure because I don't want you to quote me. I'm not sure. There was a point I couldn't try that. Now, these days, he doesn't know half of my escapades. I don't take permission from him. I don't even owe him information to run my life. I now have children of my own, but he's still my dad. These things are easy for us until we come to church. When you now come to church, they say you want to be Absalom. Is that not what they used to put people under the pot? Say, Absalom! You want to be king while your father is alive? Yes. The pattern king of Israel, that was the model he left. Solomon was made king while David was yet alive. Did I get that one?
Yes. A kingdom of kings, a kingdom of priests. Why? Because the goal of a proper man of God is to be a man that is of God. Hello? A man of God is not a man of the people. You see, the name actually spells who he ought to be. His designation is man, but he is of God. So people are not his primary thing. In fact, John said, he that owns the bride is the bridegroom. I wish that God will burn that into your spirit. That he that owns the bride is who? The bridegroom. Who is the bride? The church. Who is the bridegroom? Jesus. What's the relationship? Ownership. He that owns the bride is the bridegroom. And John said, but the friend of the bride that stands with him and hears his voice rejoices. And this is my joy. And that joy is now complete. What was he talking about? My ministry was basically to facilitate the marriage of the groom to the bride. But a lot of us, we are like the best man of Samson. You know Samson's best man? You know Samson's best man? When Samson had a little misunderstanding with his in-law, before he went and came back, the best man of Samson took Samson's wife. Only God knows how many people have taken his wife. We are more in communion with the man of God than the God of the man. Now he that owns the bride is the friend of the groom. So the bride is left outside in the cold. We only use his name. The groom is left in the cold. We only use his name. And so tonight, we will be asking God to correct this error in the body. The proper smith that will raise proper weapons, weapons that God himself can wield. Thou art my battle axe and my weapons of war. If we are God's weapon of war, sir, have you been made? What is God's instrument for the making of his weapons? Doctrine. That's why we are doing this. How does he forge these weapons? It is doctrine, my little children, of whom I travail again as in birth, until Christ is formed in you. Where are those travelers? Where are these people that know what it means to form Christ inside men so that, like the reed, gradually it is stuffed? The difference between a reed and a rod is that a reed is hollow inside. A rod is stuffed from inside out. That's why when you do the concrete of your building, you don't use pipes, you use rods. You can use rod. You can use pipes if you are doing plumbing, but not if you are doing pillars. And God wants to raise the rod of the strength of Jesus out of Zion. Is an apostolic assignment. And God must raise apostolic type ministries. I choose my words carefully. God must raise apostolic type ministries that can forge and formulate these matters in the spirits of men, so that we will have something to present for the war. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war they perish? Isn't it? When the mighty fall, the weapons of war they perish. What that means is this: the mighty, they wield the weapon. When you become what you must become, then God can take you up in His hand. And you do not have the slightest idea what God can do with this life if these matters will succeed. It was with weapons that the mighty was defeated. And when the mighty was defeated, his own weapons perished. Are you with me? You remember that was the war in which Saul died. This was the deed that David sank for Saul and Jonathan. Are you with me? So let me make this preliminary, this external point. In spiritual warfare, that is how many times people come to die in spiritual warfare. You are my battle axe and my weapon of war. You, that's what God says. There is another man that Satan says, you are my battle axe and my weapon of war. Are you with me? Many times when this mighty Satan, because you know he's mighty, he's not almighty. The Bible talks about the captive of the mighty. When this mighty is defeated, many times his weapons perish. So sometimes people are caught in the web of spiritual warfare, human beings. So, you see, I don't do fall down and die, but I know people die on account of me. Because when the mighty fall, their weapons perish. But nobody goes to war to fight against weapons. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Nobody goes to war to fight weapons. So, God has His own weapons of war. The enemy has His own weapons of war. And they ought to be human beings like you and I. And both of them are at war. The issue is this. The weapons that they both use have to be made. They have to be formed. And God said, the smith that makes those weapons, I am the one that made him. So, I come to announce a vacancy in the spirit. Smiths are needed again in the land. Smiths. Again in the land. And that is why this matter is central. Because this is what God puts in the hands of men so that they can use to forge weapons for him. Because Jesus is seated and God needs weapons. So the ball is in our court. You know, I have wondered why sometimes or many times in the church we send some of our weakest men to some of the hottest parts of the battle. Are you with me? Are you with me? If Boko Haram is misbehaving in Borno and Adamawa and Yobe and all of that part of the country, why are we sending
the feeble among us as missionaries to those places. Hello? Hello? The cursey anointings that we use as papas and geos in Abuja and Lagos, shouldn't we try them out in those regions? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Because even unbelieving kings, Ziba and Zalmunna, they told Gideon, they said, this is your boy you are sending to kill us, he will not do this job. You remember? You remember Gideon and his son? Ziba and Zalmunna were captured. Gideon told his firstborn, rise up and fall on them. The Bible said, the young man did not draw his sword because he feared, for he was a youth. There were kings that were captured. There were kings that were ready to die. There was nobody to execute them. Gideon was standing. His son was standing. These kings have been captured. Rise up and fall on them. The boy could not. The Bible said he could not. And at some point, the kings that were to die had to give Gideon a piece of wisdom. And they said to Gideon, rise thou and fall upon us by thyself, for as the man is, so is his strength. So why do we send our weakest men to the hottest zones of the war? Rot in Israel. To roll this reproach away. Lord, that I will be that javelin in your hand with which you will peck evil and avert calamity from the land. But someone has to make the javelin. Smiths are needed in the land. You see what Paul did out of the life of Timothy? You see what Paul did out of the life of Titus? Titus was one man that Paul sent to Crete. Only one man. And he said, I'm sending you there to put in order everything that is not in place. Take care of the land. Appoint and ordain elders. Instructions to the elderly. Instruction to women. Instruction to younger people. And all of that instruction is given to one man to execute. Do you know that some of the churches Paul wrote letters to, he was not personally involved in planting them? Rods had been raised. That is the end product of proper attendance to the apostles' doctrine. If you have not come to that point where your chief goal is, Lord, where do I fit in this battle? Because if you have not been told, God is at war. And I'm tired of big, big talks without impact. We cannot congregate and feel good and worship God and praise God. Yet, the battle is suffering. Oh Lord, the wrath will arise out of this assembly. Some of them don't yet have name. Some of them will be discovered accidentally. But rods are rising. Amen. A number of our big brothers are eating our resources and posting home losses. 40 days, Israel was at war. doing nothing. You remember?
Yes, sir.
40 days. They were feeding on the labor of the land. Women cooked food, sending to the battlefront, because when a soldier is at war, he does not feed himself. No soldier goes to war at his own expense. Their families became the responsibility of the land. Paid their school fees, fed their wives, sent food to them at the battlefront. Our men are at war. But what were they doing there? Absolutely nothing. From commander to the last private in that army, they did nothing. Eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner for nothing. Let the reader understand. David was sent circumstantially. Say, go give them food. So he came. But he had a sling that was a part and parcel of his dressing. So when he came and saw the man, he said, this looks like a good day. This one must have been interesting. How many of that type have you guys killed so far? Eh? They say, this boy, what are you talking about? He said, I mean, this man coming. How many of his type have you killed? They say, you're a young man. They say, you don't understand. There are certain understandings I have prayed to God that I will never have. You don't understand, yes, and I seek never to understand. I do not understand how you can be here for 40 days eating and drinking from the labors of those at the back of the line, and you have done nothing. And I know how we say it in church. Say, it's not my own business, so whatever they are doing, that's their own. I will just do my own part. Whatever they are doing is their own. I leave you. So David said, what will be done to the man that brings this guy down? Because this guy looks like, this is a very adventurous day. So what will happen? He was having a normal discussion. Then his brothers overheard. They said, this naughty boy, you have come. We know the stupidity of your heart. For to spy this battle have you come. And he said, what have I done now? I've not done anything. What have I done? Is there not a cause? And they didn't answer. Did you know the answer to that question? No, they didn't answer. Is there not a cause? If you did this job 29 days ago, will I be here? Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason why I am here? And is it not your inefficiency? Is there not a cause? Young men and young ladies, there is a cause. There is a cause. There is an anomaly in the land. The mighty God of Jacob is weaponless. There is a cause. Many of the places that we have channeled our monies and our resources and our commitment and our energies into, they are like the grave. They never say it is enough, and they produce nothing. There is a cause, and I have told God, for this cause I too shall be made manifest. There is a cause. There was a smith that sat over the life of that young man in the crucible of experience. And in a lot of times when these things happen, you don't even know they are happening. Back in the day when you saw Chinese movies. Yeah, Chinese movies. Isn't it? Yeah, Chinese movies. An underling will go to a grandmaster and say, sir, I want to learn. I want to be like you. And the man said, it's okay, come. And he comes. And he starts sending him to fetch water, sending him on errand, sending him to do this. Then after a while, the young man becomes exasperated. And says, sir, I came to learn Kung Fu. You not teach me Kung Fu. Then the master will say, he will smile at him. Why is he smiling? Because he doesn't know. Because he knows that the boy doesn't know that he knows. I mean, the boy does not know how much the boy knows. That in the course of fetch water, you are drawing water, you are developing a certain skill. In the course of go and do this, you are developing a certain skill. In the course of accidentally I throw something to you, then you have to catch it and make sure it doesn't fall. You are developing a certain skill. So this training is happening subliminally. That was David. A man that circumstances had been used by God because there were no smiths. Because when God has that serious challenge where there are no smiths in the land, he has to do the job himself. There are exceptional people like that. Abraham was one of them. David was one of them. So, when David finally, one of those days was in the wilderness and taking care of his sheep, and this lion came and took a lamb. You know the story. Do you know the story?
Yes, sir.
But let me remind you, in case you left off a detail. So the lion comes and takes a lamb. A lamb. And the lion is going with the lamb for lunch. If you and I were David, would that not be end of business for the day? That you saw a lion come to your flock. The lion took only a lamb, not even a sheep, let alone you. You will print cards. You will call us for Thanksgiving service. Delivered from the power of the lion. And you will say, when the lion came, there were sheep, there were rams, but the lion took only a lamb. David was of a different DNA. Lion took lamb. The Bible said, when the lion took the lamb and was going, David went after the lion. I'm like, was that a German shepherd? No. You know how you respect houses that have beware of dogs. Hello? Beware of dogs. If you were walking down the street and your purse fell off, you didn't realize on time. By the time you realized and turned back, you saw it in the mouth of a German shepherd. Your purse. What will you do? Ferocious looking German shepherd. What will you do? You will plead the blood of Jesus. David went after the lion. And there are lion chasers here.
You just haven't realized. God will set you up for manifestation.
He went after the lion and snatched the lamb out of the mouth of a lion. It was at that point that the lion turned against David. Lion said, what is depriving me of a simple meal for lunch? Who is this? Let's finish him. So the lion turned against him.
David had come a long way. At the point he saw Goliath. He had fought with wild beasts that do not have conscience. So he wasn't scared of a wild man.
Nothing under his custody could be taken away.
Those are the kind of men we are looking for.
That we groom their flock to maturity. Nothing missing. Men like David. Men like Mordecai. Everything Esther loved died until she met Mordecai. Isn't it? Her father died. Her mom died. When she met Mordecai, Mordecai said, nothing dies around here. So Esther became queen. What was the next on line to die? The husband. You know the story, don't you? After Esther got married to the king, for some weird reasons, the king's innermost guards, the guards to his bedroom, read your Bible very well, the guards to his bedroom, two of them, planned to kill the king. You think they were after the king? No. Everything Esther loves dies. But there was a Mordecai in the picture now. Esther and the king lived in the same palace. Mordecai was an outsider, but he knew what was happening in the bedroom of the king. Smith in Israel. I hear people all the time say, when we send men out there, they get into government, they get into high positions, they forget us, they forget the church. Why will they not forget you? When you lose relevance, you become irrelevant. When Mordecai raised Esther and groomed her for the palace, when Esther got to the palace, Mordecai was as relevant as ever. We have men of God that can only pray over economic problems. So the man in charge of the affairs goes to take practical solutions from elsewhere. Then very soon we start blaming him. That now that he has become something, he's turned his back. Yes. There are some people that can only cleave in the night. Okay. See, some people are only lovable at night. In the dark. Is that okay? They are good for the night. You know one of them? Leah. Isn't it? Isn't it? At night she was okay. But when day breaks, no. There are people like that. Very relevant to struggling people. They can cry with you, they can mourn with you, they can help you through the days of sorrow and the days of darkness. They can stick in the night. But when the light breaks, no good. Mordecai wasn't such a man. in the palace, he sent message to Esther. He said to Esther, there are these two guys that are planning to kill your husband. Tell the king. And thank God for Esther. The Bible said Esther made it known to the king in the name of Mordecai. Then the king set up a committee to investigate the matter. And they found it was true. So those two guys were executed. What? For the first time, we didn't succeed in killing what she loves. Who is tampering with us? And in the spirit, they picked up Mordecai in their radar. They said, that's the guy. So what was the next thing? Let's kill him. And they found a weapon in Naaman, in Haman. Let's kill him. Why? Because if you won't let us have this lamb, we will turn against you. Smiths in Israel. Kato Shata Bahatu Sahala. Let there be a stirring in our spirit. Several of us have been complacent for too long. The men and women that you should father are getting farther and farther away from their ordination. Because there are no smiths in Israel. So Mordecai was marked for death. But you know how the matter went, don't you? I love that part. That day that the man Haman came home intending to ask for Mordecai's head and ended up being instructed to take Mordecai around the town. When he came back home and told his counselors and his wife, what did they say to him? In summary, they said, if Mordecai be a Jew, Kayo. If Mordecai be a Jew before whom thou hast begun to fall. I say, hey. They told the man, say, this one is just the beginning of fall. This thing that you are putting your hands on your head, it just started. They said, this man that before whom you have begun to fall, if he be a Jew, and I wish you will receive that revelation. If I be a Jew, surely they will gather, but not by my God. If I be a Jew, I will raise rods for God. I will raise weapons for God. The mighty and the former of the weapon that the mighty uses, they belong to the Almighty. I am no ordinary person. I'm no ordinary person. Now two times they born me. Yes, I'm not a normal man. I'm no ordinary person. This is not a man that you can kill. No, not this one. Mordecai is a Jew. He is in this kingdom, but he is not of this kingdom. He is a Jew. This thing that Mordecai has introduced into the palace, you can't do anything about her. You can't have this one for lunch. So let's kill Mordecai. You will die before him.
Excuse me. Was it Mordecai that killed Haman? No. But Mordecai died because of him. But Haman, it was not Mordecai that killed Haman, but Haman died because of Mordecai. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Born to reign. Born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. This is no ordinary man. This is a confirmed smith in the land. When he makes a weapon, you don't come against it. So when they brought Esther into the palace, we don't have time to show you all the things that changed in that land. But so much changed. The Haman that will kill Mordecai was hung on the gallows of his own making. When you rise against a smith of God, you will self-destruct. Why? Number one, there are not too many of them, so their maker watches over them jealously. Number two, it takes a long time to produce one. You see, it's like the Israeli army. They are very valuable to the kingdom. The nation of Israel doesn't joke with their soldiers. The last I checked, if you kill an Israeli soldier, the revenge, the only time that Israel will agree that they have evened with you is when they have killed 30 of your own soldiers. The life of one Israeli soldier in the estimation of Israel is worth the life of 30 soldiers of any other nation in the world. Israel is a small country. There are not too many of them. And the soldier is also a small part of the population. And they are highly skilled. Their nation doesn't take them for granted. There is vacancy in the house. Smiths are needed in Israel. I know, you know, usually when we come for this kind of meetings, but you've been told it's not for eaters, isn't it? So I'm taking liberty. Is that okay? Yes.
Smiths are needed in the land. To again show that the enemy is not as strong as he appears. How can we be in this land? How can we be here? How can we be here? And so much is happening under our nose as a country.
And we can do very little. We are smiths in the land.
Where are these men that can forge weapons that no weapon formed against can prosper?
We need to raise Daniels for our kingdom.
So the only people that can survive in governance in this land are Daniel type people, and they are made. Raising Daniel type people means you raise people, and part of their training is preparation for the lion's den. Unfortunately, in church, we don't know the God of Daniel. We only know the God that delivered Daniel. You see, the God that delivered Daniel, he will be my God. What of the God that made Daniel? A lot of us think that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they threw them into the fire and the fire didn't do anything. Do you know that the trauma that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through was before the furnace? They were given time to change their mind. And they knew they weren't going to change their mind. Who made these boys? That in our own land, for 2 million, a Christian will bend. Where are rods in the land that will stand whatever comes? They that trust in the Lord shall not be moved. Where are they? Before you blame the lack of those men, the trouble is not the lack of the men, it's smiths. Weapons are not born, weapons are made. The makers of the weapons are making different things now. You know, the Bible talks about makers in the Bible. The Bible talks about makers. Talking about marriage, he said, he that made them in the beginning. Because there are recent makers. But he that made them in the beginning, made them male and female. But there are other makers making other things. They make male and male. They make female and male. They make male and dog. But he that made them in the beginning, we know what he made. Where are the makers after the order of God? Because those that God raised to be makers, they are either making nothing or they are making other things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And tonight, God will deliver you from under any cloud. Any cloud, any cover that will sit over your breaking forth. Because the cover sits over your formation. Anything that deforms your formation stalls your manifestation. Lord, I don't want to be an eater. I want to be a sower. Raise for me makers that will make me in the order of God. And that instrument is doctrine. That God will bring you into the crucible of formation. Shut away from the glance, from the glare of the public. And then he can sit over you through the instrumentality of smiths. And you know how they smith, you know how they make their weapon? Coals, fire, furnace. It's a hot zone. Hello? It's a hot zone. Because you are being made to confront strong issues. If you do not face more heat in your making than the heat you will face in manifestation, you will break at manifestation. So, our pharmacist took that principle from God. What is it? Shake well before use. Have you seen that on suspensions and syrups? Yeah. They borrowed it from God. It's a kingdom principle. Shake well before use. And I see people being bred as common eaters. Can't stand nothing for God. No matter what I face, when success comes my way, it doesn't even make grammatical sense. Let alone spiritual sense. You don't face success. It's bad English. They say you will face it. That's not good. That's not a good thing that is being implied. No matter what I face, when success comes my way, because we are afraid of trouble. But yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Not because I'm a superstar, but for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Something must shift here tonight. Amen. Oh Lord, admit me. Admit me. Admit me to the query. Admit me to your garage where you forge weapons. Sit down. He said, I will make you to become fishers of men. That was what he said to Peter, isn't it? And for 3.5 years, he taught them. He showed them principles. And when that tenure was over, what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit. But before he went, he said, I give you power, isn't it? And that one we call the Great Commission. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach. And he said, at the end, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Smiths in Israel. Jesus was a master. After 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years, they were with him. Are you with me? First 3.5 years, they were with him. Everywhere he went, they were with him. Mark chapter 3 tells us, he called 12 that they should be with him. Isn't it? So they were with him. They were with him. After a while, when that phase was over, he said, you can now go. And I will be with you. So they can now go. So they now saw what these guys were doing. These guys are unlearned. These guys are ignorant. Where did they get this from? Then they looked harder. Said, they were with Jesus. What they didn't realize was that one that they were with is now with them. Every Smith, listen to me. You see, I stand here on something. I will be with you. But they started by being with him. So Jacob said, when Laban met with him, when he was running away with his people, "You've defrauded me." And Jacob said, "No. If it had not been that the God of my father Abraham and the fear of my father Isaac was with me, I would have been leaving you empty handed." Ah! So all this while that Jacob was here, Jacob knew that there was something with him. On account of that which was with Jacob, Laban couldn't do him anything. Do you know how bad it was in Jacob's case? That night God came to Laban and said, "That guy you are running after, don't touch him. Don't touch him." Why? He said, "Because I am the God of his father." At that point, Jacob had not entered into the league of his fathers. So God said, "I'm the God of his fathers." How do I know? Because Laban said to Jacob, "If not that the God of your father appeared to me this night." So when God appeared to Laban, he introduced himself as the God of Jacob's father. It was much later that he became Jacob's God. Smiths in Israel. Smiths that when they have labored, when they have... No. I can't die like a chicken. I know what I stand on. No, I can't. May God give you an opening in the spirit. May God cleft a spot for you in this rock. May God find accommodation for you in this rock so you can hide. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in you. Sometimes you will need smite to help you chisel out a space in that place. So, where are these men who must be made? And where are the men that must make them? Paul, writing to the Corinthians. When he was talking to the Galatians, to the Corinthians, he told them, "You have many instructors, but you have only one father in the gospel. Because I fathered you in the gospel." Isn't it? And to the Galatians, he said to them, "I'm laboring until Christ is formed in you." And in Colossians chapter 1, he did say, in Colossians 1, Colossians 1, towards the very end. Now, in Colossians 1, he said, verse 28, talking about Jesus, he said, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor." What is this labor here? He is laboring to present men perfect in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 15, let's read Romans 15. Romans 15. Verse 15. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have whereof therefore I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. True ministers, true apostolic type ministry is focused on the raising up of acceptable offerings unto God. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable unto God. That was his labor over their lives. What is the focus of the labor over your life? Loads of us have become earthbound Christians. Earthbound. But the people that went on ahead of us, they are of a different species. And Paul didn't only do this. The ones he raised behind him, he trained them to do the same things. You remember? That which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same. Do what? Commit to faithful men who will in turn do what? Teach others. And in his letter to Timothy, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Quickly. Good. He said, verse 8, for bodily exercise. Okay, no, we should start from verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, the problem is, the doctrine that you have attained unto is a duty to transmit. Was it in the morning we looked at the model of Jesus and we said that Jesus, referring to his disciples, referred to his doctrine, because it is the doctrine that makes the disciple. So when they asked him of his disciples and of his doctrine, he ended up by talking only about his doctrine. Why? If you know what I teach, you will know who I have produced. And the instruction here was from Paul to Timothy to make sure that he transmits the doctrine whereunto he had attained. Not to say like some people say today, we now know better. And by that they mean to say, the doctrines by which they were raised, they now find fault with it. And they now raise people by a different doctrine. The foundations in holiness, the foundations in diligence in the study of the word, the foundations in prayers, the foundations in fastings, the foundations that were laid for them, whereon they stand, they now trivialize it. And they raise other people by their current status, which is only the elevation of the building, and those people do not have foundations. That's why deacons and pastors and ushers in church, they bend at work. Many of their GOs will not bend.
because they are made of a different stuff. Instruction tonight, for every smith in the house, the doctrine that made you, that's the doctrine you should employ in making others. I now know better. Yes. Give them that same background. Then let them grow up to know better. So he tells him, do this. And what verse did we stop? 6. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. We labor and suffer reproach. Why? Because we trust in the living God. That doesn't sound like what we hear around. If you trust in the living God, why should you labor? If you trust in the living God, why should you suffer reproach? The devil has inverted biblical understanding in the hearts of so many people. Listen to me, listen to me. There are people in church that Satan will make sure by every means that they never come into any major hardship in their lives. Because that's the only way to frustrate their destinies. Satan will make sure that some people are never broke beyond a certain level. Because it will make them think seriously. And when they think seriously, it will be dangerous for the devil. Riches and poverty is nothing in the end, is nothing to Satan. What Satan is looking for is, what is the best way to keep this person from fulfilling destiny? For some people, it will be to put money in their hands. For some other persons, it will be to try to take money away from them. Because money in their hands is dangerous to his kingdom. For some other people, money in their hands, is a palliative. And so those people come around and talk bogus nonsense. Bogus nonsense. So he said, these things we suffer and we labor. It is why? It is because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So much there. But verse 13 is my focus. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to... You see, but you see, you cannot, because you can't get to doctrine without reading. Isn't it? You can't get to doctrine without reading. So he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Verse 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Aye, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Verse 13 again. Till I come. And can I tell you tonight, Jesus is speaking to us through the voice of Paul. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading. For how long? Till I come. Let me hear you say, till I come. Let me hear you say, till I come.
May you never come to the point where you know better than this. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Private reading. Private study. Give attendance to study. Give attendance to reading. And give attendance to exhortation. And give attendance to doctrine. A lot of time in church, we don't even have time for exhortation, let alone doctrine. Hello? Hello? You remember the Acts chapter 2 where we started from last night? What Peter was doing there that day, the Bible says, and with many such words, he exhorted the people. That was exhortation. What was exhortation? The same one you killed has been made both Lord and Christ. And scriptures call that exhortation. What do we call exhortation? Exhortation for us is a word of encouragement. Isn't it? So we want one brother to come and give us a word of exhortation. And then he comes and say, well, no matter what you are going through, you know, the Lord knows. God will help you. I just want you to know that you have to discover to recover. You know the things we arrange. Yes, even in the well, it is well. Exhortation. And if it's exhortation, we say, we give him 5 minutes to give us exhortation. Isn't it? Biblical exhortation. We don't have time to do it. Do you know that if you want to do doctrine, you know how people like Paul did theirs? When they called those meetings, they only knew when they came. You remember the night that Eutychus fell? You remember Eutychus? It was a story built, and Paul was traveling the next day, and he was preaching long into the night. The Bible said because he was long in preaching, Eutychus sat in the window. Bible English is good. You know what it means to sit in the window? Sitting in the window is, if there's a window here, is for me to sit inside. Isn't it? When you sit in the window, one ear can hear Paul, the other ear can hear the word. Isn't it? One hand can wave the babe. The other hand will do offering. In the offering. This eye will see church. This one will see world. The testimony of scripture is that if you sit in the window, sooner than later you will fall. And when, listen, and when you fall this way. You don't fall in, you fall out. The Englishman calls it sitting on the fence. In Bible language is sitting in the window. But when the guy fell and died, what did Paul do? He went down there, raised him up, prayed for him. He came back to life. He held him back to the room. When they came back to the room, Paul said, so where was I? And he continued from there. Today, we run 5 services in 6 hours. How do you do doctrine? Are you listening to me? How do you do doctrine? So we have a bunch of rootless Christians. Christians without root. Are you born again? Yes. How do you know? The things I used to do, I do them no more. Is that what it means to be born again? What were the things? I was an alcoholic. I was a womanizer. So the Muslim man that has never tasted alcohol,
and that is a virgin. So his own born again is superior to yours. Because you did those things before, you don't do them again. Him, he never did. We neither know whom we have believed, nor what we have believed. Yet, the Spirit is speaking expressly. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. We do not know the essentials of our faith anymore. Because Sunday service, we use it for motivation. Motivation. Is that not what we do most of the times? Yeah, because in 20 minutes or 30 minutes that you have for preaching, I cannot introduce. What do you do in 20 minutes? Of course, offering must happen. Do you know that the Sermon on the Mount started in Matthew chapter 5 and ended in Matthew chapter 7? Now, and that was the condensed version. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do you know that if I were to mention the names of proper Christian authors in this house, majority of us will not know them. Because I know what most of you read. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Read, oh, read. Read far and wide. When I conclude tomorrow, I'll be dealing with the apostolic model outside the church. We've been doing in-house matters. But you know, this is not our entire call. We have a calling to reach them that are out. Then you see how important that point is. Give attendance to exhortation. Exhortation is prodding onto proper living. It's not trying to make you feel good. And what we do in church? No. You see, in some of the Western countries where people try to go look for greener pastures. UK, US, particularly in those places. Pastors will come. I don't care how you came into this country. Whether you came to the back door, you came to the front door. God will establish you in this land. I say, what? You don't care how they came? Give attendance to doctrine. The foundation of the law stands sure. And it has this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You don't care how they came. Who gave you microphone? That's why we need smiths in the land. These men are marking time because there are no replacements. They are here taking space, eating up our resources. Because there are no replacements. Where are the Davids of God? If you have not heard, hear now. There is a cause. Let us pray. Let's pray.
Hallelujah. I was in my office in Lagos and Pastor Boniface sent me a text message of some information that he got from the internet. And that information, I guess, was it on Facebook or somewhere on internet? I guess on Facebook. And the communication grid was jammed because of that information. It came from one of our mighty men in the cause of the gospel in this nation. Name withheld for security reasons. Hallelujah. And I guess it was something like an interview forum on the Facebook platform. He being a pioneer of the new creation reality gospel with an extra large proportion of the grace perspective has established a gospel of lasciviousness and a gospel that doesn't have the courage to contend with unrighteousness. And so in this interview, the question was, is masturbation a sin? Now, in order for it not to be called masturbation, a name was coined out, self-servicing. And that's why we no longer know the role of a dictionary anymore. Because if you say marriage now, Wesley's dictionary says an affair between a man and a woman. But I think they'll have to revise it now. So our new words are evolving just to make up for the fact that we have lost shape. So he says, well, it's not a sin, it's just self-service. Hallelujah. And I heard another one again came out recently. Oh, abortion. Abortion after rape. I make this statement, am I wrong making this statement that a pioneer of lasciviousness in the gospel is in league with the devil? It's in league with the devil. Now, what we don't see is that that mantle is still functional, all right? But the devil doesn't necessarily need to make devoid your call. He will just tilt it in a way that he can serve his kingdom. So you can still go out for your public meetings, your crusades and all of that. But the erosion that your life and ministry is creating is actually depriving a forthcoming generation of any possibility of navigating into inheritance. It is the destiny of our generation to seek the recovery of those grounds that have been ceded to the enemy. You know, on the news, was it a referendum that they went through in order for, I guess some guys in Ukraine, they voted, they wanted to be part of Russia? So I think we need to conduct the same thing for Bakassi people. We need to recover seeded ground. You will not know what happened when we were running our broadcast on NTA. All right? Some ministries in this town paid NTA people to make sure we're not on air. If this young, this small boy, if he continues saying this thing, do you know how much we're paying for that slot on NTA? We are not a Muslim state. Meanwhile, Muslim programs are done for free in the north. In fact, they are looking, they have extra space for anyone that has caught some light, a new light. And they will slot it. We were paying for off time, 6 a.m. in the morning. Most people wouldn't have woken up by 6 a.m. on Saturday because of the drink, the beer garden that he fellowshipped. The hangover, the effect of the alcohol will be waning at that time. And in order for him to survive the headache, he needs to still take one pint or two pints. We're paying for off time, and it was costlier than cable. You don't know that there's a hidden warfare in the body of Christ. That because David came back from battle with Saul and the women sang. Some grounds have been seeded. The reason why we need to pray for more anointing, more grace, is so that we can have influence. You see, there are some grounds it will take influence to recover. Not influence that we trigger by meticulous strategies. I'm talking about God giving influence. So much ground has been seeded to the enemy. The gospel has been perverted. That is the reason why God has created an opportunity for some pioneers to have first-hand experience of God, not Bible school products. You know, we went to Bible school and all of them. But God touched, in fact, the Lord will help us. I was trained to be a success motivational preacher with the powers to quicken a man that is about to commit suicide to desire another day in the future. Oh, Jesus. We were equipped with storylines, scriptural perspectives and connotations that will give you hope to leap. So you leave the church excited, but when you meet Satan, we know what will happen. You'll be defeated. Because your spirit is lean and hungry. We did that for a while. And when Baba wanted to help, he showed us some things, and we were able to discover that our level of compliance was a departure from God's barometer reading. And he helped us. And he's still helping us. But we need to recover some ground from the enemy right now. Some ground of deception. Some grounds that have been pioneered by mantles. Heavy mantles pioneered those grounds. And if we are going to recover it, God will have to raise a few among us to have major influence in the next few years. Hallelujah. He also preached prosperity till he died. You know, when he was preaching it, people were attacking him. Abi, but when he died, that gospel became the Nigerian gospel. Abi, now we bring to the fore the kingdom and we'll die preaching it. Because in the kingdom, The agenda of God is clear. And the sum total of divine revelation is Christ and his kingdom. If we take any principle outside of that crucible, just like I can take a scripture and say, stolen waters is sweet, and use that to bless a thief. As long as your teaching is not in line with kingdom perspective, it is not Christian. But you lifted it from the Bible. The compass, the reference point that every teaching in the scriptures must have is what? Is reference with the kingdom. So the Bible says, seek ye first prosperity, the kingdom of God, and what? His righteousness, and the things that the Gentiles seek. Material and financial stuff will navigate. Why did he prioritize the kingdom above material stuff? It is because he knows that there is a possibility for you to seek the material stuff. And I hope you know that 74% of the body of Christ are seeking material stuff now. And just in case that is your own template, you are in trouble, because you are going to collide with something that is not naira and kobo. You collide with a power. That power is called mammon, and that power will possess your soul. When that power possesses your soul, your motivation in life will stem out of the wisdom of that power. You become a different creature, created in a different image. And that's why I say, seek the kingdom first. Let that be your priority. I'll cause this one to navigate in your direction, so that at no point will you be found what? In pursuit, because this one has his diverse infirmities. He said the love of money is the root of all what? So let me stop you. So it's possible for you to be preaching something that is out of context with the reference of all truth and reality, and you are raising a bunch of people in a different image. In Islamic training, there are various schools. If they say somebody is going to Egypt for Islamic school, know that he will come out a terrorist. If somebody is going for Saudi Arabia, they are different. Are you with me? Now what this? Now this guy goes to Egypt for 4 years training, and they begin to bring some courses, some philosophies, some perspectives, some eye views. And he begins to imbibe them. Begins to imbibe them. It has been judged already based on the psychological nature of man. They have created a curriculum that is intended to bring you into an understanding. After 4 years, you come out wired, and every fiber of your being wants to destroy America, the Jews, and Christians. That is the end product of the Egyptian course. My question is, in church, what do we become? How many years does it take us to become such? It's vague. It's like it's amorphous. You know, every society is a reflection of his church. If we are suffering leadership issues, for instance, in society, it's because in the church there's no leadership. At least we are not a government. We are a people under a God. Since the crisis started, has there been CAN or PFM? Oya, let's go to our God. We will be in IBB Square for the next 40 days. I will call on the God of Jacob. There has never been a time that the people of God have been afflicted and they came together to their God. That's an opportunity for him to advertise. Then you see a note. Let's go for a rally. With placard. We are tired. I think is lack of leadership. So many grounds have been conceded to the enemy. But we want to ask God for mercy, that those lands, those grounds can be recovered. Listen to me. We need to understand the implication of every prayer we pray in church. Hallelujah. You know, in our church in the village, is a compulsory prayer point. When you want to pray, you must pray that God should bring millionaires to this church. It's a standing rule. You want to do personal night vigil, you'll be detailed in your night vigil. This prayer point must feature. God should do what? Bring millionaires. Where? For 17 years that we prayed that prayer, it was never answered. You are missing it. Because God decided to answer the prayer in a different way. He decided that he will not bring a millionaire, but he will raise one from among us. But before the people became millionaires, the pastor proved them. And they became millionaires outside. The prayers were answered. But things changed. This prayer we are praying today, God will answer it. He might answer it by raising a few of us to test us. This authority we are asking for, he might actually give us to test our hearts. It's okay, you guys are. Let me raise three of you to have great power and authority in the body of Christ. What will you shape? What will you build? When the millionaires came, then it was clear that we did not have the heart to have them. Because we drove them out before the time of their making. And unfortunately, it was as if when they left, they began to prosper. God answers prayer. When we begin such prayers, things begin to shift in the heavens. Just like things shifted. And then Gabriel was sent to Mary. And then Jesus, when he lost it. Okay, let's stop there. We have to pray. God will build a superstructure in our lives. And we'll be able to say to iniquity, I am not of you. We'll be able to speak the truth in love. We'll be able to challenge people's unrighteousness by reason of the fact that God has bestowed grace upon us to stand erect at a time where it is not popular. Before we ask people to give money for a kingdom project, we have put our own in excess. And the things we teach and preach is the aroma that flows out of our lives. We want to ask God for the recovery of grounds that have been ceded to the enemy. Wait, some of the challenges we are passing through as a state, some grounds where what? The enemy becomes very powerful in a day that something deliberate was done to give him some ground. Very powerful. Can we cry to God for the recovery of grounds that were ceded to the enemy? Grounds in form of territories, grounds in form of doctrines and teachings, grounds in form of discipleship methods that have empowered the enemy and established him in authority and in influence. Look upon us with mercy.
Listen to me, everyone under the sound of my voice. Those people inside, those people outside, God has a responsibility for you and me. We cannot fail him now. We cannot fail him now. A little opportunity, suddenly pride breaks out. Instability breaks out. We cannot fail him now. Let those grounds be recovered. Let those grounds be restored. Jubilee has come. It's time for the recovery of things. Raise among us men that can stand in the gap. Men that can fill up the vacuum. Men. That are righteous in heart and consistent in spirit. Righteous in heart, consistent in spirit. Victory. I sense it in my spirit. This city might be surrounded with armed men, but there is victory that I passed since, you know, the people on duty, prayer duty yesterday night. Tony, you were the one I gave the instruction. I said we have not won yet. I said we have not won. I have not touched victory. So you guys do the shift. You stop by 3 a.m. We just secured victory this evening. I'm talking about the territory now, the land. There is victory. No, your bone will not be broken. Amen. And your blood will not be spilled. Amen. God will come in a hurry. He will come in a haste. He will do damage. He will do damage to the adversary. Serious damage will it do to the atmosphere. There's victory in the spirit. We need the sword of every man, the prayer of every woman. We need everyone to be on the Lord's side as we chase away this beast of reckless wickedness. We need every night hour, every time. We need every tongue, every prophecy, every prayer, every fire.
battles are better fought when you sense victory around. The angel of the Lord that has been dispatched to bring us victory, he came this evening, and he is mighty and valiant. And so we are going to fuel his agenda in prayer. So before we shut down tonight, we want to fuel it some more. Save our sons, save our daughters, save our people. Come with redemption, come with salvation in your wings, come with hope, come with life.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for going ahead of us. Everyone that is standing here, every family represented here, is sealed by the covenant that is in your blood. We decree that no bone will be broken. We decree that no blood will be shed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. If you can, you may be seated for the next 2 minutes. We'll take some announcements. We'll be back here again by 8 a.m. Ushers, let the offering basket go around. We'll start a prayer session from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. and take a shot of the word of God. While we prayed, I saw God touching someone on the stomach and taking away something that is close to the umbilical cord. That is taking away something. Now that pain that you have had, that is by your umbilical cord, God was working on that. And the power of God to heal broke out. But hallelujah. So I just have to announce that for now. Amen. Now we are gaining ascendancy. There is a point in the spirit that God has destined us to arrive. Many things are determined of Him concerning this meeting. And we are gaining ascendancy gradually. Gradually. And there's a convergence. Things are shifting and moving in heaven. And there's a pattern that is worthy of the glory of God that will be created. And administration will come from that point. I believe God that some things will be settled in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just want to introduce a few people that I'm seeing now. Amen. Our sister, she's so humble, just talks herself in the congregation. Amen. She's a fighter in spirit and in the natural. And sometime, maybe during the Easter break, we'll get to hear her testimony. Never seen a woman fight that hard. Hallelujah. I'm talking about my sister, Ungunan. I don't want to tell her testimony, but for now, you do well to know that she's a fighter. We'll make you welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, my other sister from Canada, she came into my cottage today. Let them hear to me. And I told her she has not changed. Her face has not changed. That's Minister Peace Jones from Canada. You are welcome. In the name of Jesus. It's obvious that tomorrow, okay, as you can see, this is my immediate elder brother here. Tomorrow we are going to spend some quality time in prayer. So we don't know when we'll close. When we are done with the teaching, we'll begin to pray because of the obvious things happening around us and obvious need to pray. And so we are going to take some time to stretch in the place of prayer. And we'll trust God to help us in the name of Jesus. Now, while we prayed and while I'm talking now, some people are being healed. So please, receive your healing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. By 8 a.m., we are going to pray from 8 to 9. We'll take the teaching from 9 to 11. Then we'll begin to pray from 11. For about 1 or 2 hours. Just to set things aright and to set things in motion. But remember, you and yours have this assurance that no bone will be broken and no blood will be spilled. In the name of Jesus. Let us rise as we share the grace and fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus. Love of God. So see you tomorrow by 8 a.m. God bless you.